on right now on Facebook Live. And God, I plead the blood of Jesus over their life. Lord, I think that somebody's going to watch this message, and God, they're hurting. Lord, they're discouraged. Lord, they're sorrowful. And God, right now, I ask that you'd minister to their heart. God, as the word comes out this morning, Lord, I thank you that it falls on good ground. Lord, I thank you right now, God, that you're making sick people well. God, you're making depressed people joyful right now in the name of Jesus. Lord, I declare over the audience that's on Facebook, Lord, I thank you, God, right now, that you are the firm foundation that they need. And Lord, I ask that you'd convict them. Lord, I ask that you'd draw them. Lord, I ask that you'd minister to them right now. In Jesus' name, amen. 1 Samuel chapter 1, we're going to start at verse 1. I have learned over the course, I got saved when I was 7 years old. I'm fixing to be 40. So I've been saved for a long time. And what I've learned is whatever part of the word that you can digest and process and understand, that word, if you get it up inside of you, it's living and it's active. And there is, all scripture is God-breathed and fit for teaching and preaching and ministering, Old Testament, New Testament. And so we are going to hang on every single word this morning because there's so much knowledge in this account. When you're reading the Bible, you're not reading stories. You're reading documented accounts. And so I just like to teach people as I go along. So 1 Samuel chapter 1, verse 1, there was a certain man from Ramathaim, a Zophite from the hill country of Ephraim, whose name was Elkanah, son of Jeroham, the son of Elihu, the son of Tohu, the son of Zuph, an Ephraimite, and he had two wives. So we said all of that to say this. There was a guy, and his name was Elkanah, and we're going to learn that he had two wives. He had two wives. One was called Hannah, and the other one Peninnah, and Peninnah had children, but Hannah had none. Hannah had none. And I want to minister to you this morning that there's going to be times in your life and there's going to be seasons in your life where you are Hannah. And you're going to look around at people and you're going to see yourself as having none, and they've got everything that you want. They've got what you've been asking God for. It seems like things come easy to them. It seems like nobody struggles quite the way that you struggle. And I challenge you that as you read the Word of God, that you put yourself in these people's shoes and you begin to understand what they were going through when this was written. And here's Hannah, and she's married to Elkanah, and he has another wife, and she's able to have kids. See, back in the day, children were a sign of fruitful, productive family. And these men had multiple wives, and these wives produced children. And if you couldn't produce children, it was really kind of frowned upon. And so here's Hannah, and she's looking around, and she has nothing. Or at least in her eyes, she has nothing. And we've all been in that place where we feel like we either are nothing, we have nothing, we're looking around, and we're saying, God, I don't have anything. God, I have nothing. And I want to tell you something. If you're in that place where you say, God, I don't have anything, that's not a bad place to be. That's not a bad place to be. Because where you lack, God will come right into that place of lack. Right where you leave off, He will begin. And so when you have lack in your life, that's not necessarily a bad thing. You just say, God, I'm looking around and I'm examining and I feel like I have nothing. And if you truly are in need, God will meet you right in that place, and He won't do the adding. He'll do the adding there in your life. And so I challenge you. I remember a time in this ministry, and it wasn't that long ago, maybe 2.5, 3 years ago. There was an auction for a building in this town, and our food ministry was growing. It was growing because I let God do whatever He wanted to do, and that's why it's so successful. That's why it's so blessed. It's nothing that I've done. Tawny, the only thing I've ever done with the food ministry is let God do what He wanted to do. And if you will let God do what He wants to do in your life, you will become someone you never even dreamed of. Whatever you give God 100% of, see, God wants everything. And people get all uptight because they think that when we make these comments that we're talking about money. Let me get you straightened out here. I'm not even talking about your money right now. I'm talking about your life. I'm talking about your life. And I am telling you that as a woman of God, whatever you give God 100% of, he will take it and he will bless it and he will put his hand of favor on there like nobody else can. And it will become something that you could have never imagined. Why? Because he's able. God is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we could ever ask or that we could ever even think. And so there was an auction for a building. I was prepared to get it if I felt like we wanted it. And I did not have a direction. And I said, God, all I'm asking is that when we go to this auction for this building in town, you give me a very clear yes or a very clear no. And as I sat there, I began to have a very clear no. See, and sometimes God's, you have none because it's not time for you to have what you're asking him for. Don't get upset when you have none. You stay in that place of faith because God won't let you stay with none. And many times when you think you have none, you've really got more than what you think. And so I kind of left there discouraged because I thought, well, what are we going to do? Where are we going to put things? How is this going to work? And God asked me, Kelly, can you sit on the sideline and be happy for someone else when they get their answered prayer? Do you have enough character and do you have enough integrity to just sit on the sideline of someone else and see them get what they're asking God for? I said, well, we're about to find out, God. So I began to pray for that place and pray for what they were trying to do there. That place is successful now. I believe that it's ordained by God there. Well, very soon after that, I got word that God, what he really intended for Parish Christian Center was to have something built brand new. Brand new. And I'll tell you, whatever God ordains in your life, God will pay for it in every single way. Whatever God orders for your life, God will make sure that you got it. Because it is not by might. It is not by power. It's by the Spirit of God. And if your life is in the flow of the Spirit of God, you're going to have an unmerited favor over your life. People are going to look at you, guess what? And they're going to talk about you because they're going to wonder how that happened for you. And you know what? As long as you point them towards Christ, God will keep you in that flow. But here's Hannah, and she's looking around. And in that moment, she has none. She has none. When we have none, one of the things that we are tempted to do is look around and look at everybody else and see what they have that we don't. And I encourage you to not be that person. Don't look around to see what everybody else has that you don't. It's really none of your business what they got and how they got it. But if you will look at God, who is the author and the finisher of your faith, if you'll look to him, he's going to make sure you got what you need. He knows what's breaking your heart. He knows the family trouble that you're going through. He knows that every hair that's on your head. You don't think that he knows what you're in need of? I'm not even talking about materialistic things. I know what it's like to want a baby. I also know what it's like to promise God what I'll do when he gives me one. And so it says here, but Hannah had none. Go with me now to Philippians chapter 4. We're going to look at verse 11 through 13 very quickly here. We don't need to look at other people. When you're looking at other people and you're seeing what they have and you're marking it down that you don't got that, that's a distraction for you. It's a distraction for you to be looking around and seeing what's going on in other people's life. That's a distraction because, see, God wants to do something in your life that's very specific and unique to you. Don't spend a bunch of your time looking around and asking God why this and why that. Take heed to yourself. So Philippians chapter 4, we're going to look at verse 11. When you're in a season where you feel like you have none, here's advice. I am not saying this because I am in need, for I have learned to be content whatever the circumstances. Can you be content this morning when you have none, when you're waiting on God? Can you be content? It's not something that's going to come easy. You're going to have to learn how to be content. See, there's some things that you have to learn them. They're not going to come naturally. And I believe that being content is one of those things. It's not easy to be content sometimes when you are coming up where you feel like you're in need of something. And so to read on, it says, I know that what it is to be in need, and I know what it is to have plenty. I have learned the secret of being content in any and every situation, whether well-fed or hungry, whether living in plenty or in want. There's a secret to living content. Here's the secret in verse 13. No matter how I live, here's something that you need to make yourself do. You need to make your flesh do it. Your flesh wants to come up and boss you around, but the spirit man wants to get you in check. Allow your spirit person to take the lead. Verse 13, here is the secret. And you have to know this on your worst day. I can do everything through Him who gives me strength. I can do all things through Christ that's strengthening me. When you're living in the land of none, when you're looking around and you're saying, God, what am I going to do? Lord, how is this going to work out for me? God, this just looks like it's going to all come down in shambles. And here I am. What are we going to do? I have learned the secret to being content. And the secret is this. It's your attitude towards the ordeal. It's your outlook on life. I can do all things through Christ that's strengthening me. When it gets hard, when it ain't easy, when people leave and they backstab you. See, I can do all things through Christ that strengthens me. You're either telling yourself that you can do it or you're telling yourself that you can't do it. But you're telling yourself one of those two things. And I tell you what, if God brought you to it, He's going to get you through it. You can do it. But you better be telling yourself that you can. Because the devil's going to be back here the whole time. You can't do it. This is really going to screw you up for the rest of your life. Nothing's going to ever be the same. Well, you know, you can put a muzzle on the devil. I mean, that's just totally up to you. Let's continue reading here. Get your can-do attitude on. Get your can-do attitude on. 1 Samuel chapter 1, we're going to go back to it. We're going to pick up at verse 3. Year after year, this man went up from his town to worship and sacrifice to the Lord Almighty at Shiloh, where Hophni and Phinehas, the two sons of Eli, were priests of the Lord. Whenever the day came for Elkanah to sacrifice, he would give portions of meat to his wife Peninnah and to all of her sons and all of her daughters. So here they are. It's a family outing. He's got his two wives. Peninnah's got it all. She's got the kids. And so here's Elkanah, and he's got Peninnah here, and he's got all their sons and all their daughters, and he gives them portions, okay, of sacrifices of meat. And it says here in verse 5, but to Hannah, he gave a double portion. He gave a double portion to the woman that saw herself as having none. What am I trying to say here this morning? Do not despise the day of small beginnings. Do not despise where you're at right now in your life, because whatever it is, God has written it up into your story. He is not left you. Right now, God is with you. God is well able. And to the person that saw their self as having none, God gave them a double portion. Why? Because of His favor. When you're looking at your life and you're sitting there and you're hating life because you're not where you wanted to be, you're not where you thought that you were going to be. You know how many people wake up and they're depressed and the spirit of depression wants to come on them because they had an idea of how their life was supposed to be, and because it didn't happen that way, they just can't live and be happy because it wasn't what they expected. I'm going to tell you what, life is not ever what you thought that it was going to be. There is trials and there is tribulation, but see, the Word of God wants to come into your heart, and it wants to tell you, but be of good cheer, but be of good cheer. This life is that we're living here, it ain't easy, but we got a Savior that's making it to where we're well able to do what we're supposed to do. Amen. You're well equipped. You're well able. When you see yourself as having none, there's God, and you're looking at yourself like you're nothing, and God's saying, I'm going to give you a double portion. Quit looking at Penina over here. She's a little twit. Let's look over here, and let's just see that you're blessed. Amen. Yeah, I said twit. This is Arkansas.
Glory to God.
We're going to keep this real. There's a little gangster up inside of me. It's genetics, okay? Year after year. See, this happened year after year after year. Some people are upset with God when He allows something to go on in their life for longer than 5 minutes. See, this happened year after year for her. Year after year. So here we are. Elkanah's given Penina and her kids a portion of the meat. But to Hannah, he gave a double portion. And he did it for two reasons. Because he loved her. And the Lord had closed her womb. She got that double portion for two reasons. For one, her husband loved her. He didn't care that she could not give him children. Sometimes we are disqualifying ourselves as people because we think that we can't offer something because of whatever reason that we got. Stop disqualifying yourself and stop living that mediocre life just because you don't have a good self-image of yourself. Get the mind of Christ and ask God, Lord, teach me how to look at myself the way that you see me. But he loved her. You know, back in the day, they didn't always marry for love. Most of the time, they didn't. And the Lord had closed her womb. And sometimes we have none because it's a season of none. The Word of God says that the Lord had closed her womb. Why did He have it closed? Because it wasn't time. It wasn't time. There was a certain time for that baby that God was going to bring about in her to be born, and it wasn't time yet. And He allowed her to go through some suffering. You know how many people are mad at God because He allows certain things in their life? I encourage you not to get mad at God. That won't get you nowhere. But it says that the Lord had closed her womb. Wasn't time. Go with me right now to Habakkuk chapter 2. We're going to look at verse 3. Stop looking at what you don't have. For the vision is yet for an appointed time. I believe that God has shown people some of the things that He's going to do in their life, and because it hasn't happened yet, people are discouraged, people are weary, people are hurting, people are questioning God. God, is it going to happen? And I'm going to see you right here. For the vision is yet for an appointed time. What does this mean for the believer? You got an appointment with God. You got an appointment for the breakthrough. It's down in the books. It's a done deal. There is an appointed time of whatever He showed you and told you He would do in your life. There is a particular moment in time where that will surely come to pass. The problem that we get into sometimes is we put everything before God. And when somebody comes into your life and they speak in your life, what is God doing in your life? What are you believing God for? What do you think God wants to do? And people have no idea. I encourage you to get a clue, okay? It's a dangerous place to be when you don't know what God's wanting to do in your life. It's a dangerous place when you don't have any direction. Seek God. He'll give you direction. And it says, for the vision is yet for an appointed time, but at the end it shall speak and not lie. Though it tarry. What does that mean? Though it take a little bit. Okay? Wait for it. Wait for it. I believe that God's telling somebody in here this morning, keep waiting for me. It's a done deal. It's done. It will surely come and it will not tarry. Go with me back now to 1 Samuel chapter 1. We're going to pick up at verse 6. What are we doing? We're learning how to read the Word of God and we're learning how to process it. There's too many people that are saved and believers and they don't ever pick up their Bible because they don't understand how to read the Word of God and take it in for everything that it is. You can hang on every single word. 1 Samuel chapter 1. I'm going to pick up here at verse 5. But to Hannah he gave a double portion because he loved her and the Lord had closed her womb. And because the Lord had closed her womb, here we go. Welcome to humanity, the second part of this verse. And because the Lord had closed her womb, her rival kept provoking her in order to irritate her. There are still rivals today. I said there's still rivals today. And because the Lord had closed her womb, so here's this poor lady, and she has to go through this stuff year after year. And here's Peninnah, and she got all her kids. Man, if I was Hannah, I wouldn't even want to see them kids. I'd be like, I don't even want to see them kids. I ain't got any kids. And yeah, Elkanah loves me, but I want kids. Her rival kept provoking her in order to irritate her. And sometimes when you're in the season of you waiting on God, you're going to have some irritation. You're going to have some rivals. Woe of you when all men speak good of you. Sometimes when you find yourself irritated, you need to understand. Billy, I'm going to question you. I've just grown to love the heck out of you. Do you believe that God can put people in your path on, let's say, Monday, that are going to bless you and encourage you and you love them? If you believe in heaven, you've got to also believe in hell. What comes up must come down. Okay? The devil is described as the god of this world. And just as God can put people in your life to bless you and encourage you and love on you, I believe that the devil can also put people in your path to irritate you, to discourage you, to get you going, to get you in the flesh. And I say that because we see it right here in the Word of God. That Peninnah was a certain way to her, and she was that way to irritate her and to provoke her. Are you easily provoked? Are you easily provoked? I'm going to preach where we live. And I can tell you from the pulpit. See, y'all got something unique, and here's what it is. Most pastors will not get behind a pulpit and tell the truth. That's a rarity. Why? Because they want you to think that everything is perfect. I'm telling you that everything is not perfect in my life. I'm telling you that I'm a human. I got a short temper at times, and at times I am very easily provoked. That is the disclosure. Are you easily provoked? When it's not going right in your life, are you easily provoked? Are you easily irritated? Here's what I know, Moni. Sometimes God allows those people to do the provoking and the irritating. Why? Well, it's God's job to brush some things off of us that shouldn't be there. That's called the refiner's fire. God's job throughout the course of our life is to refine us and get all the little burrs up off of us. This went on year after year. Whenever Hannah went up to the house of the Lord, her rival provoked her till she wept and wouldn't eat. Verse 8, Elkanah, her husband, would say to her, Hannah, why are you weeping? Why don't you eat? Why are you downhearted? You know, I'm going to keep it real with you. There's things that men are not going to understand about women. That was back in the Bible, and it's still true today. How many of you men, you can honest to God say, now women, don't hold this against him because I asked him the question. But how many of you men, you're sitting there and you're going, you know, half the time, I don't know what my wife's problem is or why she's in a mood. I got no clue. Okay, yesterday, Frank and I, we went to this place. It was Frank's birthday on Friday, and nothing went right Friday. It's just one of those days. Nothing went right. So then Saturday, we go back up to Fort Smith, and we try to make it right, Mindy. Now, I am a very weird person, very strange. And where does that place I like to eat? What is it called?
Rolando's.
Rolando's, yeah. This is how great Frank's birthday went. We spent the day at Ulta. For his birthday. Ulta, Bobby, is a makeup store. Anyways, we went to Rolando's, and I love Rolando's mainly because it's nostalgic. The day that we got married at the lake. I came here, preached the New Year's service. Then we go up to Fort Smith, and we go out to eat. Yeah, this was a weird day for sure. This isn't what most people do when they get married, but we're strange folks. So we go to Rolando's, whatever it's called, something O's, okay? And we go and we sit in this one specific place. Every time we go, Tanya, we sit there, okay? So we go there yesterday, and we were the first people that got there. I am getting older and wiser because let me tell you something. I want to get to the restaurant first. I believe that they will do a better job when they're fresh, they've had sleep. I want that first plate. Pray for Brother Frank, okay? He's got his hands full. So we go in there, and she goes, well, where do you want to sit? In my brain, I'm thinking, this sweet man, he's going to pick our spot. I love him. He's so romantic. We're going to sit in our little spot that we always sit in, and it's going to be great, and I'm going to get myself out of this weird, funky mood that I've gotten myself into. And it's going to happen when we sit in our spot. Well, he says, we'll sit by the window. And I'm telling you, I got in a weirder mood. And I was sitting across the table, and I was literally praying, God, something is very wrong with me. We came here to celebrate his birthday, and I am about to be a heifer again. And I was praying, God, help me to be nice to this poor man. But sometimes we in a weird mood, and we can't even figure out why. But Hannah knew why she was in this mood, because she went through this year after year after year after year, and she was tired of it. How many, there's people that rub you wrong, and sometimes you just get sick of them. Well, here's Hannah. And she was just like, I am tired of this heifer. She's got these kids. I don't have any. Elkanah is giving me double portions. That's still not suiting me. Now, this is a rough around the edge thing, but I'm committed to preaching where normal people live. And I'm speaking of things that people think and they do every day. And so, here she is, and it says, he says, don't I mean more to you than 10 sons? Verse 9, once when they had finished eating and drinking in Shiloh, Hannah stood up. Now Eli the priest was sitting on a chair by the doorpost of the Lord's temple. Verse 10, this is very important. In bitterness of soul, Hannah wept much and prayed to the Lord. In raw emotion. How many of you can say, there's times where life just gets so real. And it hurts. It's uncomfortable. It's discouraging. It's sad. It's depressing. It's overwhelming. And here she was. Here she was. And in bitterness of soul, she begins to pray. What does that tell you? Hannah knew where to take her problem. She knew where to take it. She knew where to take it. I'm going to be very real with you. If I was Hannah, I would have probably had to tell Peninnah off before I went to God. I would have been like, God, hold on. I'm going to get with you. But it's going to be after I sin just a little bit, because I'm going to tell her off. But she knew where to take her problem. She knew how to take it. How did she take it? In bitterness of soul. She took all that dirty crying, all that ugly crying, all the raw emotion, her heartbreak. She took it all to God, and she began to pray. When you are in the land of none and you feel like it ain't going right, and why this and why that, and everything is what it is, do you know that you can take the problem to God first? Why? Because there is a certain order. In the order of God, it says, seek ye first the kingdom of God. When you don't know what to do, when you don't know where to go, when you don't know how it's going to work out, take it to God. Take it to Him. This wasn't a pretty scene that day. She was upset. She had done this over and over and over. And she stood up and she was tired of it. At what point do you get so tired of something that you finally say, God, I need you? This went on year after year. And it said, But one day she stood up, and in bitterness of soul, she went to God and she began to pray. There are times that you're costing yourself more time because you just won't take it to the right place. Take it to God. There's that secret place that the book of Psalms tells us about, that secret place where see, it's designed for you and God to have conversations, to love on each other, to develop a relationship. In bitterness of soul, Hannah wept much, and she prayed to the Lord. Verse 11, very, very important. She made a vow saying, O Lord Almighty, if you will only look upon your servant's misery and remember me. See, when's the last time you got so sick of your problem, you stood up and you decided to do something about it, and what you did about it was you went to the right place first, and you said, God, I'm miserable. God, I'm hurting right now. Lord, I'm not going to go to anybody but you, because God, this is too big for anybody but you. And you just go to him, and you sit at his feet. You allow him to just take you in and show you who he is. Life is hard, but God is bigger than what you're going through. I challenge you to go to him. Take those problems to him. There's many times where I'm just driving in my car, Moni, and I'm just telling my problems to God, and I'm saying, God, I don't know how you're going to fix it. God, I don't even care how you fix it. Lord, I don't even want the details of how you're going to fix it, but God, I just want to tell you, I need you. I need you to fix it. God, if you don't fix it, it ain't fixed. What does the word tell us? Cast all your cares on him. Why? Because he cares for you. He loves you on a level that nobody else does. Go to him. She made a vow saying, O Lord Almighty, if you will only look upon your servant's misery and remember me and not forget your servant, but give her a son. She prayed a very specific prayer. She did not say, give me a baby. She said, give me a son. Give me a son. She knew what she was asking God for. What kind of prayers are you praying? And are you praying at all? Every believer needs to have a prayer life. You don't need a PhD for that. Just talk to God. Talk to him. Tell him. Then I will give him to the Lord for all the days of his life, and no razor will ever be used on his head. So here she is, and she's brought this prayer and request to God. It was a very specific prayer. And then she made a vow. What is a vow? A solemn promise. A solemn promise. And here's what I want to encourage you with today. There's times in our life where we needed God in a big, big way, and we made promises to him that we did not keep. That we did not keep. I'm going to encourage you, be a promise keeper. The thing that you tell God that you're going to do when he moves, you need to keep up your word. You need to keep up your word. See, you and God should be in covenant. It's you and him all the way. And when nobody else can for you, he can. She made a vow. She made a promise, and she kept her promise. What have you told God that you'd do, and are you doing it? What kind of prayers are you praying? What kind of prayers are you praying? There's times where I don't know what God wants. After we didn't get the building, I said, Lord, I don't know what you want, but God, give me a heart like yours. And Lord, make it to where I want what you want. See, sometimes you're wanting something that God's saying, I want to give them more than what they're even picturing. And we can't let go of what we're picturing to receive the very best. But if you'll get in flow with God, He's got exactly what you're looking for. Verse 12. As she kept on praying to the Lord, Eli the priest observed her mouth. Hannah was praying in her heart. She was praying in her heart. He was looking at, here's the priest, and he's looking at her mouth, and her mouth is moving, but nothing is coming out. Why? Because she was saying a prayer. She was saying this prayer to God in her heart, and her lips were moving, but he could not hear her. See, there's things that you're going to whisper to God and you're going to be talking to God. People aren't going to see them. People aren't going to hear them. It don't matter what other people, what their deal is with your prayers. Hannah was praying in her heart, and her lips were moving, but her voice was not heard. And Eli thought that she was drunk. So here's the man of God. He's in the temple with her. He sees her. She's supposedly moving her lips. There's no prayer coming out. And he's going, this chick is drunk. He misunderstood what was going on. Sometimes when you're in that land of none, you're going to be misunderstood. You're going to be misunderstood. You're going to be judged. You're going to be talked about. You cannot afford to let that get a hold of you and mess up the condition of your heart. I heard Joel Osteen tell a story, and I've meditated on it since the day that I heard it, and I'm going to repeat it because it's, to me, it's like the most amazing story, but it sheds light on humanity. Now, I think humanity is in a lot of trouble. And we all know Joel Osteen. I personally love Joel. Very, very much. And he has a huge church. And people like to talk about Joel. How many of you know people are going to talk about pastors? That's just truth. I've been talked about more since I became a pastor than any other time in my entire life. And one of the things that I hate when people do, and I please don't do this with me because I don't like it. Don't ever talk about another pastor to me. God cannot bless that. People like to talk about Joel Osteen. Look here, I just shut my ears to that. Why? Because ain't nobody going to be blessed talking about Brother Joel or any other pastor. So Joel said, you know, the pandemic hit ministry and hit the church globally, worldwide in a way that it changed everything. And a lot of changes are still there. And Joel said there was a company, and they had a transportation company, and they had limousines. And these people, this limousine company owner, they started going to Joel's church during the pandemic. I believe that God sent these people there.
Yes, amen.
And they went there for a while. One day they got a hold of Pastor Joel and they said, the pandemic has affected our business so much that nobody's renting limousines. And God has laid it on our hearts to take our limousines and to use them to further the work of God that He's doing in this city. And we want to take our limousines and we want to go all around the city and we want to pick people up in these limousines and we want to take them to church so they can hear the Word of God and have their life be changed and transformed. And they began to do that. In all the front of Brother Joel's church, all you could see was limousines. Don't tell me God ain't cool. He gets you to church in style if He wants you there. You know what I mean? And Brother Joel, he said that was just the most amazing thing that God did. And he said, I had a public figure start going to my church. They went there. And then I didn't see him anymore. And they sent him an email. And here was the email. Brother Joel, we really loved your church. We loved everything about it. Everything. And they began to name off everything that they loved about the church. They said, but this one thing we cannot get over. And that is why we are not coming to your church anymore. We do not agree with you taking your family to church in limousines while people in the community are suffering and they can't even get to church. And we think it's a disgrace what you've done. That'll preach all on its own. All on its own. Man, people that had pastored for 30, 40 years left the ministry in the pandemic. You know how much pastors were judged in the pandemic? You know how many pastors committed suicide in the middle of the pandemic? A lot. A lot. In the land of none, you're going to have people misunderstand you. And guess what? It's okay. They don't have to understand the journey that God is taking you through. Here's what she did. How long? Eli thought that she was drunk, and he said to her, how long will you keep on getting drunk? Get rid of your wine. Verse 15. Not so, my lord, Hannah replied. I am a woman who is deeply troubled. I have not been drinking wine or beer, but I was pouring out my soul to the Lord. What does God really want for you? He wants you to get with Him and begin to pour yourself out till there's nothing left of the old remnant of who you are. He wants you to take your bitterness to Him. He wants you to take your irritation to Him. He wants you to take your offenses to Him, your pain to Him, your addictions to Him, your health problems to Him. And He wants you to pour them out on who He is. Why? Because He's well able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that you could ask for Him. But you got to take Him what's going on with you. You got to take those problems to Him. And you can't afford to take them to anybody else because nobody else can help you quite like He can. And she said, I'm not drunk, but I was pouring myself out to God. Do not take your servant for a wicked woman. I have been praying here out of my great anguish and grief. When is the best time for prayer? I believe when it's at your lowest point. You need to, when you feel that wave of grief and that wave of hurt and depression and discouragement, you need to pray right then. You need to get on your knees. You need to raise your hand if you're driving and say, Lord, I need you in a big way. I was praying out of my great anguish and grief, and Eli answered, go in peace. Go in peace. What was he saying? As you go in peace. You came in here troubled. You came in here broken. You came in here discouraged. You came in here irritated. You're leaving in peace. You ever seen that meme on Facebook of the little kitty cat going in there to tussle with the devil and it comes out a lion? You may come to God and you may be broken, but when you leave, you're whole. Amen. Go in peace, and may the God of Israel grant you what you have asked of Him. Verse 18, she said, may your servant find favor in your eyes. And then she went her way and ate something, and her face was no longer downcast. What did she do? She went about her life. She got up. She went in peace, and she ate something. She got right back into her life, and she knew that God was going to do what He said He would do. Early the next morning, they arose and they worshiped before the Lord, and they went back to their home at Ramah. Elkanah lay with his wife and his wife, and the Lord remembered her. And the Lord remembered her. Somebody's asking God, God, when is it going to be my time? The Lord remembered her. I don't know where you are at in your life, but I want to tell you something. The vision is for an appointed time. God will remember you. He will do what He promised. So in the course of time, Hannah conceived and gave birth to a son, and she named him Samuel, saying, because I asked the Lord for him. You have not because you ask not. Ask the Lord for what you need. Ask Him. Last place for me this morning, Hebrews chapter 10. We're going to look at verse 23. Hebrews chapter 10, verse 23. Let us hold unswervingly to the hope that we profess, for He who promised is faithful. He who promised is faithful. He who promised is faithful. Let us hold unswervingly. You don't have the room to hold any other way. You've got to hold on to Him. And in your mind and in your heart, you can't be swerving. You've got to hold on to Him and hold on to Him tight, because He who promised is faithful. He who promised is faithful. I want to speak to that person this morning, and you're saying, Pastor Kelly, I feel exactly how you preach. And I need God to encourage my heart. I need God to encourage my spirit. There's some things, and it just, they're not going right. And I need God to turn them around. I'm going to ask you to stand, because I believe that God has given you some very clear direction this morning. Some very clear details on how to do what's necessary for your life. Cheryl, I'm so glad that you came.
Kelly, I'm going to have Ray come see me with you. He's my son. He's 25. He's probably been in church one time. I said, you have to hear her, and you'll feel differently. Because, I mean, he's a God-fearing boy. He likes your memory and all this, but I'm so excited.
I want to pray for you right
Thank
now.
Thank you, because I need it. I need it really bad. You know what I have addictions with? It's mainly that.
I know.
And if I'm on that, I will go to hell, because I know it's not right to do. But I still do it.
I'm going
to
ask you something that's
but
very
important.
But
I know it's from the devil. Now, see, my mom, if she was living,
do
she
you,
could get me off of it.
Do you want to lay it down?
I could lay it down, but then in 2 days from now, I'll do it again, so I'm being a hypocrite.
I'm going to pray for a change right now. God, in Jesus' name, lift your hands up, Cheryl. Lord, I thank you right now, God, and I speak the peace of God. Lord, I speak to addiction right now in the name of Jesus, Lord, and I thank you right now, God, that you're breaking every chain. Lord, I ask that that right now, You change desires, God, within her inner man right now. Lord, when she's tempted, God, I ask that you'd put a wedge there in between that meth and the temptation. And God, I ask that, Lord, you give her recovery right now. I speak days of recovery into her life right now in the name of Jesus. Lord, I ask that you'd help her to turn from it, God, and make a change. Lord, the spirit is willing, but the flesh is weak. And so I speak to this flesh right now in the name of Jesus, and I tell it to come in line with what the spirit man wants to do. And I speak recovery right now in the name of Jesus. And God, for every person that's standing, they're saying, God, I feel like I've been in that land of none. God, I feel, Lord, I'm discouraged, Lord, right now. God, I plead the blood of Jesus over your kids right now. God, I ask that you'd encourage their heart right now in the name of Jesus. Lord, where it's been hard, where it's been depressing, whether there's been an overwhelming thing, God, right now I ask you to encourage every heart. Lord, I thank you for the instruction that you're giving to every heart right now in the name of Jesus. And Lord, I ask that you'd cause us to live this sermon out. Lord, let us live it out in the name of Jesus. Amen. We love y'all. We hope to see you tonight at 5:30. We are doing things a little bit differently this morning. I believe that Jim is outside. There is a box of food for every household, but you will get it as you